He wants to be a brick. Yeah, we say nice things about bricks, don't we? Thick as a brick. Solid as a brick. Great fun. Well, in the Old Testament, they were building with these bricks. And, well, it wasn't a happy story. So today, I'd like us to start there and then move forward into the New Testament and look at building a different way. Moving from the old to the new. I'm not going to ask you if you've made any New Year's resolutions. Whether you have or you haven't, that's entirely up to you. I heard it described as a to-do list for the first week of January. But maybe, you know, maybe some of us find it helpful. Might look back over the year and say, what did we learn from 2022? Somebody once said, before the new year gets in, I want to read the terms and conditions because they sold us a bad one last time. Well, how am I going to build going forward into 2023? There's a way of looking at the history of faith, if you like, that helps us understand the difference between the old way and the new way. We begin with bricks. Now, we don't know exactly whether the Israelites were involved in building some of the pyramids that are still there in Egypt, possibly. But it's not much of a life, was it? Can you still remember it? What a way of living, eh? What a way. Thing is, slaves don't get rewarded, do they? They just get worked harder. Bricks. They're inflexible. You start with that nice squidgy, you like squidgy clay, don't you? Eh? Get your hands into it and squeeze and slime. And but then you bake them and they go rigid and solid and hard. And you know what the Egyptians built with those bricks? Monuments to death. Those pyramids are gravestones, essentially. Enormous, huge, great things that have lasted for thousands of years. And somewhere inside them was a little chamber with a body. We remember the pyramids. We don't remember who's buried there. Unless you're a very specialised historian in Egyptology, which I suspect we aren't. But that's what they built. Pyramids. Monuments to death. Is that good enough? Do we just want to build monuments to dead people? Or do we want something better? The Israelites had a promise. Moses goes to God and says, what, you sure this is a good idea? Look, it's just stirring up trouble and Pharaoh's getting mad and the people are in trouble. And God says, hang on. There is a better way. There is a deliverance. And we haven't got time to go through the whole story, but Moses, miracles, the exodus through the desert, the entry into a promised land. That's what followed the bricks and the straw. And there's a link to Christmas. Jesus, because King Herod was a psychotic maniac who liked killing kids, they go to Egypt as refugees. It's a thought, isn't it? Jesus, a refugee. How topical is that? And God repeats the same salvation motif because Jesus comes back out of Egypt bringing God's deliverance. A leader far greater than Moses, a salvation far greater than that Moses could talk about because Jesus is the incarnate Son of God, a walking miracle. God's most potent moment of power released into the world. God becomes flesh and lives among us. And we could spend time looking at Jesus, but I'm going to be brief this morning. Now there's a relief, I hear you say. We're just going to pause for a moment and look at this as Jesus, as the cornerstone of the history of salvation. It's a story that goes from cradle to cross, Christmas to Easter, and doesn't stop there, it goes on. Now when you build, I speak as a non-expert, I've built a couple of brick paths and steps in the gardens. I've built a barbecue unit, which was fabulous, until we found out that the foundations weren't deep enough and it started sinking sideways. Very good for draining the fat off burgers, aren't I? You know, ready angled. Yeah. So here I am, expert, absolute expert at building, mostly on the basis of I know what you shouldn't do. But if I know what I should do, it's this: get a builder in. Get someone who knows what they're doing. And that's what God has done with the incarnation of Jesus. He's brought the builder in to build, not with bricks, but with what Peter talks about as living stones. A foundation needs to be deep and solid and strong. In our church buildings, I don't know if there's one here, I haven't ever looked, but there used to be a tradition of when a new church was built, there would be a foundation stone put into the wall with the names of the people responsible for building the church, or sometimes the people responsible for paying for the building of the church. And it's there as a kind of testimony, you know. And not a bad testimony, is it? We built this for the glory of God. But if all we do is build buildings, we're missing the point. Jesus comes to start the building of the kingdom in a new way, cradle to cross. Here's some of the names that Jesus is described by, known as: the way, the truth, the life, Redeemer, Savior, Lord of all, Emmanuel, King of kings, Lamb of God, Messiah, Mighty One, Deliverer, Bread of life, Lion of Judah, Holy One, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. So your everyday run-of-the-mill boring sort of person, really, isn't there? This is the cornerstone of our faith. This person, this Jesus. He is the master builder. Without Christ, we still live in the era of bricks. And we're still in slavery. Now I'm going to enact a little parable here. I've wanted to do this all morning.
Yeehaw!
So much for bricks. We don't want bricks. We want living stones. Listen to this. Peter writing his letter, first letter, all about the living stone and a chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Peter came to understand what this meant. Jesus, the living stone. Christ followers becoming living stones, continuing the work of Jesus. Because if we build with bricks, we build rigid structures. We build nice buildings. We build buildings that have leaky roofs. That's a pain, isn't it? And when we build our buildings, they help us do all sorts of things. Wouldn't life be different for us as a church if we didn't have these buildings? They help us do so many things. But they also stop us doing other things because they restrict us. You may have seen this around at Christmas. I think it's just quite a nice little play on words. The world needs a stable influence. It's clever, isn't it? Okay, two of us think it's clever. How many think it's a little bit clever? Yeah, a few more. Yeah, it's quite clever, isn't it? A stable influence. Well, how can the Christian church provide that kind of stable influence that the world needs? By modelling the life and the character, the actions of Jesus. Living stones are flexible, capable of working together, of obeying the master builder. Now let me try something with these bricks, all right? Bricks. Bricks! Organise yourselves. Build yourselves up again. Bricks? You're lazy. Bricks! So much for that. But if I was to say, let's build a pyramid of people this morning, we're going to need 45 volunteers, 9 in the bottom row, 8 in the next row, 7, 6. Well, while we're there, we can dust the cobwebs. But we could do that, couldn't we? Health and safety. But in theory, if we had trained circus performers or whatever, we could build a pyramid of living bricks and the people would be part of it and they would know their place and why they were there and what they were doing and who they were supporting. And the one at the top gets to smile sweetly and wave. What a wonderful thing it would be. Totally impractical, but interesting, wouldn't it? See, when we talk about church, we're not just talking about buildings. We're talking about us. Your church, I'm church. We're church. We're not bricks. We are living stones. That's a fascinating thought, isn't it? A stone that has life. I've got a stone at home that I brought back from an Alp in Austria. It's not very big. It's quite glittery. It's got quartz in it. And I thought, well, that's nice. I'll take that home as a souvenir. And do you know what? I haven't had to feed it. I don't have to clean up after it. It's never rude to visitors. It's an ideal piece of decoration. But it's about as lively as me on a Monday morning when the alarm goes off. And I have to get up and cook breakfast for my wife, who's too idle to get up and cook it for herself. Did I say that out loud? Oh dear, whoops. I do it as an act of love and generosity and kindness, hastily undigging my hole. Oh well, I was nice while I lasted. But living bricks, living people, we have emotions and gifts and abilities and talents and love, and we can do endless things together for the glory of God. Now Jesus talked about himself when he said, upon this rock I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now we have a camel on our stage for Christmas this year, and it's the finest camel I've seen in ages. We've got a baptistry on the stage, and it's a very effective one for making people very, very thoroughly wet. We've got an image of a cross on the window. It's there to remind us. What we haven't got is an empty tomb. That'd be an interesting thing. That would look good in the newspapers. Shaw Community Church builds empty tomb in church buildings. What would they think of us? Knows. Do they think of us at all? But maybe if we're a community of people who are loving and living like Jesus, a community who are building things together in love and with integrity and with kindness and with worship and with prayer and with all the things that make human beings like the image of God. This is church. The empty tomb is the symbol of our faith. Peter finishes his letter with this. Friends, this world is not your home. Don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life in your neighborhood so that your actions will refute their prejudices. And then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join the celebration when he arrives. That's church. That's us. That's what 2023 can be about. Living stones being built together, cooperating with God and each other, building a place of love and hope and faith. Living the Christ way. Through holy power, spirit and grace. And as we've been reminded in recent weeks, the direction we're moving in really matters. Are we moving towards Jesus or not? I was very tempted to finish with an assault course, needing another volunteer and reminding us just how grateful we are not to be stuck in Pharaoh's days. I was thinking of putting Lego all over the floor and getting volunteers to remove their shoes and socks, put on a blindfold, and rescue the chocolates in the middle of the maze. Would that be an expression of love and grace? I'm glad you said no, because it really wouldn't be that much fun, would it? We're not Lego bricks. We're not there to make everybody else's life more difficult and painful. We're not breeze blocks, you know, great big lumps of stuff to fill in the gaps. We're not monuments. We're not graves. And we're not dead weights. We are living stones. Living stones that God is going to use. Now, 2022, interesting year is how I described it when I wrote something down. We don't know what's coming in 2023, but I'll tell you what, if we are with Christ as a community of living stones, we can build a gateway of love for our community to come to Jesus. Means we won't be rigid and inflexible. Means we'll be loving and caring and open perhaps to change and growth. It'll be an adventure. It'll be a journey with Jesus that will change lives, not just ours. Wouldn't it be wonderful in a year's time to say, see how much God has done to change Bognor and the surrounding area? How much more Christ-like this community might be? And if we're able to do that, it'll be because it starts with us. Let's pray. Lord, the impact you can make when you build with living stones is something we can only imagine. Lord, may we be a community who are welcoming of the unlovely and the unloved, the lonely, the sad, those who are looking for hope and desperate for it. A place where mums and dads feel welcome and free to bring their children, where grandchildren can come and be part of an extended family, where love is shared in practical ways. Lord, build us. Here we are as a group of living stones. We're already here on site. Lord, astound us with what you build with these living stones. Lord, we want to spend a year winning people over with love and worshipping Jesus as he fills us to overflowing. By the grace of God, may it be so. Amen. And I'll ask Dave and the band, did they come back for our final worship? And can I just say thank you all for everything you have contributed to the life of the church in the last year. And, you know, as the musicians come back, aren't we glad to have musicians who help us week by week? And the people who clean up and tidy and cook in the cafe and do all the things that go into making it a church that's alive. We're grateful to God for each other. So may I wish you a very happy 2023 that is blessed by the love of God in us. Amen. Thanks.